My Pilgrimage to Sri Ramanashramam by Eleanor Pauline Noe, Part 2. In the 1930s, Eleanor Pauline Noe began her spiritual descent into despair, ill health, and hopelessness. Throughout these difficult years, she clung to an inexplicable faith that in India she would be restored to her former self. In spite of ill health and depression, she embarked on a journey that brought her face to face with her Lord of Love. Upon arriving in the ashrama in 1939, she was caught in the web of the Master's love, regained her health, peace of mind, and soared into the eternal expanse of freedom and joy. On her first visit to India, she stayed at the ashrama for 10 months. Subsequently, she made a second trip, arriving several months before the Master's Mahanirvana in 1950. Her joy of being with the Master, walking amidst a crowd of devotees directly behind him, is captured in the archival films. She kept in touch with the ashrama from her California residence till her last days in the mid-1970s. Returning to the Master, "I changed my plans. Instead of going back to America by the next boat, I took the train, leaving Calcutta for Thiruvannamalai. Queer to say, I felt as though I were going home. The tender way Bhagavan greeted me as I stood before him will live in my heart always. I wept with joy, knowing I was thrice blessed in being able to return to him. As I basked in his eternal sunshine, in those silent hours of communion, I was filled with his grace. It is a privilege to have some meals with the Master. To eat the food that he has handled is in itself a blessing. He would rise at dawn and help cut the vegetables, very often helping also to prepare special dishes that were delicious. The devotees prepared special food for me, and it was wholesome and good. Bhagavan was always considerate to everyone. He wanted to be sure there was plenty of everything, and the rich and poor received the same kind attention, as also the animals. No distinction was ever shown. One day, I saw Bhagavan stoop down and pick up 3 grains of rice. That simple act taught me much more than what I could have learnt by studying 10 volumes on domestic economy, which is so essential in present-day life but is so difficult to practice. Each day brought new lessons and blessings. He grew nearer and dearer to me as time passed, and my only wish was to be by his side. Silent adoration. The monsoon was on, the air was fresh and clean, and all the earth seemed radiant. Whenever it rained, Bhagavan's attendants put a white cloth on his chest to protect his body from the cold weather. He looked like a sweet child wearing a bib, and with all his wisdom and greatness, one is struck by his childlike nature. At other times, he looks like the King of Kings. His poise and dignity are outstanding. When sometimes at night he would throw a shawl over his head, he looked like the Madonna. I would stand outside in silent adoration. Again, at other times, he looked like a devoted father, smiling upon his children. I loved to watch him as he walked up the hill just when the sun was setting, and it was my greatest delight when I could go with him. One morning, I picked a lovely rose. My first thought was to give it to the master. A devotee said, "What a beautiful rose." I replied, "Yes, it is for Bhagavan." I sat in the hall, wondering if I should give it to him. After a few minutes, I laid it on the small footstool near his sofa, and he said, "What is that?" I replied, "Only a rose." He said, "Give it to me." He took the rose and touched it to his forehead and cheeks. I was so deeply touched, I wept. The 1939 Jayanti. I had the great privilege of being at the ashram in 1939 for Sri Bhagavan's birthday celebration when, as on such occasions, thousands of people were fed. He is indeed a friend of the poor. A special leaf-covered shelter is erected for the occasion so that many devotees who come for the celebration may sit in the presence of Bhagavan. One can never forget the master as he sits there on his couch so majestically amidst garlands of flowers, surrounded by his loving devotees who were so happy to be with him at that time. It is a day of rejoicing and thanksgiving for everyone, even the animals. As I walked along that night and looked at Arunachala, so silent, I was held spellbound by the beautiful sight. The brightest star in the heavens shone directly above its peak like a great beacon light to tell us, as it were, "This is the holy land, the abode of Bhagavan, the Lord of the universe, whose greatness and spiritual power have drawn men from the remote parts of the earth, who come and kneel down and worship him, singing songs of adoration and praise to proclaim his glory. Lord of love, when I left America, I longed for peace. There was a yearning in my heart that would not let me rest. Here, at the feet of the Lord of love, peace and happiness, God landed me and enriched my being. I know that Bhagavan led me to this heaven of rest." In the words of Sri Bhagavan himself, to quote a letter from the ashram, "So then, Sri Bhagavan will guide you at every step, for has he not guided you even before you knew you were really in search of him?" Leaving the ashram. I had been planning to leave the ashram for 5 months, but each time I thought I was going, something unforeseen presented itself. It was not his will that I should go. Bhagavan says, "Your plans are of no avail." I did not want to go, but felt I should. My twin sister wrote several times and said, there were matters which needed my attention, and she was very ill. Although I did not know it at the time, somehow I sensed it. That was probably the reason why I felt I should leave. As the time to leave drew near, I was very sad. I knew this time I would really go. It had been 8 months since I returned to the ashram for the second time. Those last days I spent with the master were blissful. He was so kind and tender, and when he smiled at me, tears would fill my eyes. I wondered how I could ever leave the place. When the day of parting came, I could not stop crying. In the morning, I walked on the hill with Bhagavan and some other devotees. Then again in the afternoon, when we had our pictures taken with him, as I walked down the hill with him for the last time, he alone knew what was in my heart. The little monkeys were all lined up on either side of the hill path. Bhagwan told them to come and say goodbye to me. He knew I loved them also. When we reached the hall, Bhagwan read a few comforting passages from the Psalms, chapter 139, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. Footnote 1, Psalms chapter 139, verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Verse 10, even there thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. He invited me to have supper with him, as ladies are not allowed in the dining hall at night. It was blessed joy to have that last meal with the master. I shall never forget it. Just before I left, I went to him for his blessing and wept at his feet as my heart overflowed with adoration and love. He is dearer to me than life itself. May I consecrate my life to him? Then I said goodbye to the devotees in the ashram who were invariably kind to me. I have tried in my humble way to tell about the wonderful experience I had when I was at Sri Ramanashramam with the Enlightened One, but mere words can never express the peace and joy one feels in his presence. It must be experienced. There, one truly has a glimpse of the eternal. As I am writing this article in 1946, 6 years after I left the ashram, I would like to say that I have felt the Master's presence more and more with the passage of time, just as he said I would. My devotion and faith have grown through the years and will never be shaken under any circumstances. I am very happy to say that I shall be returning soon to my beloved Master. I hear his call. Needless to say, this was the most blessed experience of my life. My stay at the feet of Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi, the Lord of love and compassion. May I be worthy of many blessings and the great love he has so graciously bestowed upon me. To beloved Bhagavan, the Lord of love, O Lord of love, who dwells within my heart, may I sing thy praise through all eternity. Thou, the adorable one, the all-compassionate, whose loving smile illumines all the world, who art tender as a mother and strong as a father, thou whose sublime life is an inspiring sermon, fill me with thy presence, beloved Master, with the nectar of thy grace. May thy great love and light fill my heart to the full. Resting secure in thy presence and knowing whence cometh peace, guidance, and strength, may I always listen, for in the silence I hear thy voice, the voice of God. Elinier Pauline Noe, California.